You are listening to Phil Hewlett and Friends. I'm Phil Hewlett. I thank you for tuning in. This is the talk show where you get nothing but fun, informative, sometimes unexpected conversation about the stories you care about. You'll hear from the experts, authors, and others. And we hope to put a little smile on your face along the way. On today's show, is it about time we changed the way we select our presidential candidates? A voting expert joins us live with an interesting proposal. You're going to gorge on turkey, stuffing, and mashed potatoes on Thanksgiving, aren't you? A brain researcher joins us on how you could trick your brain into saving your body. Plus, Manny the Movie Guy reviews one of the biggest movies ever made at Let's Meet the Friends. If you stop bobbing and weaving just for a moment, he'll crack you one. Pow! Right in the kisser. It's Chris Martin.
Phil, Ultimate Fighting superstar Ronda Rousey has been suspended from the league.
What?
And by the time we start talking about it, I should know why.
If you listen to this program on iTunes, thanks for leaving a comment and a five-star review. You're helping the show by doing that. In fact, why don't you just do that right now? While you're listening, go ahead, leave a comment and a five-star review. I asked nice, didn't I? Oh, I'm sorry. Please? Thank you. The folks at iTunes read your comments. They notice the five-star reviews, and they might help the show out with a little extra feature action. Wouldn't that be nice? Tell a few more people about this program. Let's get things started. Chris, we don't know, or are we finding out? Have you decided yet why the UFC has suspended Ronda Rousey?
I have decided. Well, the UFC decided, and now I'm going to relay that message to you.
Oh, boy, just in time, too, huh?
Mm-hmm. Yes, sir.
Moments ago, we were hanging perilously.
The UFC actually announced this on Tuesday, Phil.
Oh.
We're bringing it to you today. Ronda Rousey has been suspended for 6 months.
What?
From the league. That's 180 days.
And for getting her teeth cracked?
For getting her head knocked in, yeah.
Yeah. Wow.
Yeah, that's one of the protocols. When you get hit that hard or you have a head injury suffered the way that she did in her loss to Holly Holm over the weekend, there's a protocol that says that you have to sit out for a certain amount of time. Now, depending on what the CT scan comes back with, whether you have brain damage or something like that.
Or concussion, at the
or
very
concussion,
least.
That's what varies the timetable on how long you have to sit out.
Now, when do you think she got the brain rattled significantly? Was it the kick to the side of the head? Was it the crushing blows to the kisser? Because she did get a couple of cracks, knuckles right in the teeth. Just brutal. But she got hit a lot, didn't she?
She got pounded. It was a combination of all that. I mean, that brutal leg kick to the neck at the end couldn't have helped situations. And then the fact that at the end of a UFC fight, the UFC fighter will always, they'll knock the person out with a sweeping leg kick like Holm did. And then the first thing they do is they jump on the limp body and continue to punch.
Until the ref calls it.
That's right. Until Herb Dean comes and steps in.
Well, that's out of self-preservation. You don't want the fight to go on any further because this person could get up and regather her senses. It's Ronda Rousey, for goodness sake. She's beaten everybody. She could wake up and have a second wind and beat the crap out of you. So you want to make sure the referee calls it.
And you're going for the belt, which is a life-changing event. You know, that's something that you want to solidify then and there.
What I'm impressed about with Holly Holmes. That's her name, right?
Holly Holm.
Holm. No S, just Holm.
S would be only if you're it's possessive.
Come home to Holly, mm-hmm. Championship belt. So the thing that I was impressed with, and maybe she has read the famous Chinese book, The Art of War. Because when you look at her publicity photo, she looks like a deer in the headlights. Like, oh my God, I'm about to fight. And then in the ring, she's a beast.
Mm.
And so perhaps she plays it kind of cool and timid and lets the mouthy Rousey talk trash like she's known to do. And then when she got in the ring, she underestimated her opponent big time.
Right. Yeah, then that's what all great fighters do. They just, not all great fighters, but what some of them do. Seems like you either come from one or two schools. Either you're humble and you play timid and you go in and you do work, or you're very verbose, you're very full of yourself, and you go in and do work. But, I mean, Holly Holm, I don't know why we underestimated her. She's got shoulders like Larry Holmes.
Yeah.
You know, and a mean punch, long legs.
Right.
She's a beast of an athlete.
Yeah.
And she has a
smaller head than Ronda Rousey, so it's easier to swing and miss.
Just one more advantage she had that we underestimated that we didn't take into consideration.
When you watch the pay-per-view in UFC, you don't get that kind of biting commentary
no.
from what's his name?
From Joe Rogan.
Joe Rogan. He's never going to say, well, she's got a smaller head and it's easy to swing and miss.
Well, you know, she's one's 5 foot four, one's 5 foot five. One has 3 inches reach difference. And you'll notice the diameter of Holmes's head is about 3 inches smaller than the diameter.
You hear that, Rogan? You hear that?
More chances of having glancing blows instead of direct shots.
Yeah. All right. Fine. So what's next for Holly Holm? Another match, I would imagine.
Yeah, if Ronda Rousey's going to be out for 6 months, you would imagine that Holm will have to fight at least one time between them. By the way, Rousey said before the fight she was going to take some time off, so this just forced her into it.
You know, as a competitor, when you're thinking about taking time off,
yes,
you're not supposed to be thinking
about...
You're
already on vacation, right?
Yes, exactly.
That's right. It's like when you have the holiday season off and... in whatever, August, you're thinking about it, and you might not be putting in the same amount of effort at work.
Yeah, right. 90% of the game's mental. The other 90%, or what was the thing that, what's his name? Yogi Berra used to say. But anyway, it's mental. If your brain isn't 100% focused on the task, and in this case, annihilating your opponent, if you've got 1 foot in the vacation land, you're losing.
Yeah.
Even if you're Ronda Rousey, which we learned. Okay, fine. Moving along. Oh, man. We had a very compelling alien abduction interview on this program about a month ago. In fact, that gentleman who talked about it, the book is called the Mojave Incident. It's in our store at philhewlettandfriends.com. He's coming back to the program next month. In fact, he's going to be in the studio because he says there are some scientific discoveries that corroborate the stories from the couple in the Mojave Desert who were abducted by aliens. But... when we interviewed him, he talked about presidents and other people, astronauts and others, who have come clean about their life experience, saying, yes, I've seen UFOs while on a jet or in a rocket or whatever. And there's perhaps one of the most credible examples of this yet coming from who?
Coming from NASA, Phil.
Oh, wow.
I mean, not directly from NASA, but from one of the branches of the tree of NASA. There's a guy named Scott Kelly. Do you know who this is?
Sure. He's an astronaut. He's the brother of Mark Kelly, who is married to Gabrielle Gifford.
Well, I had no idea you knew so much about him. He is an astronaut. He's the guy that's hanging out in the International Space Station for a year. I think he's on like day 290 now of a year that he's going to be spending his time up there. He recently tweeted out a picture of a UFO. Right out of the window of the space station. What do you think of that?
Just like that. Hey, look. UFO.
Not exactly. He was taking a picture of the Earth at night, which he does regularly. He takes pictures outside the space station windows, catches all kinds of cool images of the Earth from
and
that
with,
distance.
With his selfie stick, because incidentally, selfie sticks were invented by NASA and tested in space.
Oh, is that right? Look at that. One of those things you didn't know.
No, I'm pulling.
They also invented the deep web.
Pulling your leg.
His
true.
Picture was taken at night. He was saying goodnight in the tweet, but in the upper right-hand corner, you can see a very obviously solid metallic cigar-shaped object with lights at both ends. And, Phil, this is obviously a space machine operated by little green monsters. Social media and UFO hunters are going nuts.
I'm looking at it right now.
Yeah.
You can see the far shot, and then you see the close-up. Now, the close-up is not in focus. And isn't that always the case?
There's always something. There's always something to distort the picture, to distort the story, to make you believe that it could possibly be something else.
Now, does astronaut Kelly up there in space, does he have Photoshop or any other means of doctoring a photo?
If he has a phone to take a picture and tweet, I'm sure he has the technology to do Photoshop as well or use any sort of whatever filtering programs that... comes with your Twitter machine.
Has NASA responded or reacted to the fact that he posted and has been talking about this?
Okay, you're looking at the picture, right?
I'm looking at
the
picture.
Are you going to post the picture?
The picture is being posted as we speak.
Here's the latest and greatest. Tell me what you think. Some people, not directly from NASA or Scott himself, are saying that that actually could possibly be a part of the space station.
Really?
Take a look at it. Do you think that that's a possibility? It could be an object far away that's actually a part of the gigantic, thing that is the space station.
Oh, are you kidding? So it's just like one of those optical illusions.
Could be. But I still choose to believe it's UFO. You know why, Phil? Because last Saturday, I was walking the streets This is just one of the reasons why I believe it's UFO.
Yeah.
And I looked up in the sky. It's like 7 o'clock at night. I'm walking on the streets. I look up, and right over L.A., there is something in the sky that is just, to me, it's mind-blowing. It's like this solid, luminous white mushroom cloud speeding through the sky, what I think is directly at me. I think end days are coming, and I'm leaning back, and I'm saying, here I come, God. And all of a sudden, that thing turns into a big, bright white and green explosion.
Yeah.
And something shoots out of it and goes darting off into space.
Oh, we fire those off at Vandenberg all the time.
Oh, stop it. That's exactly what the Navy said. Oh, we're just shooting some Triton missile. It was
the first stage, right?
You've got the
rocket stage, please. And then you have the booster stage.
Tired of this. They're hiding something, Phil, because who does that without telling LAX, right? Hey, they launched it without telling LAX. LAX had no record of this launch, of this Triton launch.
Of course they did.
They did not. No. No, I read the stories the next day. I know what I saw. That was no missile.
Who wrote the stories?
Everybody. Every single news outlet that is in cahoots with the government to hide the fact that there are aliens and space objects on this planet.
Yeah. Right.
No, I don't know what it was. It was probably a Triton missile, but it was very interesting to see firsthand.
All right. Fine. Up next, perhaps along the same lines, someone surveyed 200 psychics about Star Wars, The Force Awakens.
Ooh.
And the psychics have all kinds of ideas about what will be in the plot line, including a very pivotal actor, character, who they, a majority of them, say will die in the movie. We'll find out that and everything else they predict next here on Phil Hewlett and Friends.
In sports, speed is everything. When it comes to headache relief, speed is the only thing. Introducing Goody's Headache Relief Shot, the all-new liquid fast formula. Just screw off the top, down the shot, and knock back pain for fast, long-lasting relief. Leave headache pain behind with Goody's Headache Relief Shot, available now at Walgreens.
I want to tell you about a spectacular dining experience. It's Portsacall Waterfront Dining, award-winning service and cuisine with a view of the dynamic L.A. Harbor from every seat. Enjoy daily sunset specials as well as the South Bay's best champagne brunch. The outdoor harborside patio is a perfect setting for happy hour every weekday from 3 to 8. Portsacall Waterfront Dining. For reservations and directions, visit portsacalldining.com or call 310-833-3553. Still looking at that UFO on the show fun page at philhewlettandfriends.com. That astronaut Scott Kelly photographed. It does look like it's detached from the space station and it's off in the distance.
I agree. Yeah, it does not look like a part of the space station.
It looks like some kind of space junk with headlights on it.
To the best of my knowledge, he hasn't acknowledged it either, so it's sort of his subversive way of showing the Earth that there's something else out there.
He just wanted to go viral.
He did that.
The site, the website, SeventhSensePsychics.com, didn't know they had that, conducted a survey where they asked 200 psychics 10 yes or no questions about the upcoming Star Wars movie, The Force Awakens. Psychics did a 3-card tarot reading for each question. And
is that a good tarot reading? Three cards?
I have
Don't
no
you need
idea.
More than that?
Maybe, maybe not. The site analyzed responses. The big question was: will Han Solo die in The Force Awakens?
No.
70% said yes.
Said yes that Han Solo's going to die?
Yes.
Oh, I'm going to cry.
Well, only 30%
he's the best character.
He'll survive. And if he does survive, he'll be paralyzed from the neck down.
Oh, yeah?
No, I added that part.
Okay.
My psychic powers were kicking in. I had the juices going.
I thought they were going to do a spinoff with him or with that character.
Well, you never know.
I guess
psychics didn't hear that. Here's another one. Will the movie start with the words long, long ago in a galaxy far, far away? 90% said yes.
A good guess,
10%
psychics.
Said no. All 6 previous movies have started with a long time ago in a galaxy far, far away. So you'd think at least one of the 200 psychics would have detected the discrepancy. But
yes.
Are Han and Leia, still a couple?
No.
67% no.
oh, look, I'm getting good at this. I can be a psychic.
Although the trailer shows them embracing briefly, but that doesn't mean much these days. People hug for various reasons. While we almost died just there, we're alive. Old chum, old pal, let's hug.
Actually, Han is holding her because he's consoling her because Luke's dead body is actually on the ground.
Oh.
Right there next to that scene.
Interesting, because that's one of the questions coming up. In fact, here it is. Will Luke Skywalker die? And you say he's dead in the preview.
That's why Han Solo is holding her and consoling
Maybe he
her.
Only looks dead. 88% of the psychics said no, Luke Skywalker will not die.
I want to know, will Luke Skywalker even appear in the movie?
Yeah, I don't know.
83% said no.
Is Kylo Ren related to Darth Vader? I can't answer that because I don't know who Kylo Ren is, you Star
Not
Wars geek.
Not a clue, yeah.
80% said no because they don't know who it is either. Will Darth Vader, a.k.a. Anakin Skywalker, appear in the movie, aside from being represented by a burnt-out helmet as seen in the trailer?
I hope so.
66% said yes.
He's the man. I hope he shows up and looks exactly like...
Yeah.
Oh,
I don't...
What's his name?
It may not happen. Oh, like the guy who does his voice.
Yeah, right. The guy from The Sandlot. I don't know why I can't think of it right now.
Yeah, all right. Me
Silly.
Neither. Will there be an emperor? 68% said yes. Will a new Death Star feature in the new movie?
James Earl Jones, by the way.
Yeah. Will a new Death Star feature in the new movie? 85% believe there will be one. For some reason, the site says 22% said no. So 22 plus 85, that's 107%.
That's not even mathematically possible.
No.
What was the name of this group again?
The psychic...
I remember it being hard to say. I was going to ask you to say it three times fast.
Will the movie be more successful than the most successful movie of all time, Avatar?
Possibly. There's a lot of anticipation for this movie.
I don't know. I could care less, frankly. 93% said yes. 7% said no.
You could care less? Are you going to wait for it to hit DVD, like that type of care less, or will you see it in theaters?
I haven't seen the last three.
But this one, doesn't this one have a different feel to it? It's sort of palpable the way people... No?
Frankly,
Mike's shaking his head no, too. He'll wait for DVD.
I don't know. Yeah. I saw what I thought was going to be a Star Wars trailer on TV the other night, and it turned out to be that stupid animated dinosaur movie.
The Good Dinosaur?
Yeah, they make you think you're watching a trailer for Star Wars, and then, hello, I'm a dinosaur. will Star Wars creator George Lucas make a cameo appearance in the movie?
Absolutely.
58% of the psychics say yes, 42% say no.
Well, these psychics are split.
Yeah. How about that?
How about that?
So you think it's going to be as huge as Avatar?
I think it could be close, yeah. What would it need to rake in? Something like $2 billion to get to that Avatar level?
Yeah.
Yeah, it could be. It could be that kind of movie. Mm-hmm. Just because I have my finger on the pulse of society, and I can feel that everybody's excited about this movie, or a lot of people are.
Yeah.
Even the people that aren't super Star Wars fanboys and
geeky
girls. Yeah.
Yeah. The dude from Subway, formerly from Subway, mm-hmm. lost all kinds of weight eating nothing but Subway turkey sandwiches.
Yeah.
He's going to be eating a different kind of sandwich for a while now, isn't he?
He sure is. Yep. Most likely a knuckle sandwich.
What's his name again?
Former Subway spokesman Jared Fogel was sentenced to 15 and a half years in prison for possession of child pornography and traveling across state lines to have sex with minors.
Oh.
The judge that sentenced him in this case, Judge Pratt, also sentenced Jared to a lifetime of supervision, saying the level of perversion and lawlessness exhibited by Mr. Fogel is extreme. And I would have to agree with that. I mean, there was a time when the audio was making its rounds on the internet, and you could listen to some of the conversations this guy was having with undercover cops. It is a level of perversion that is difficult to understand or relate to.
I was reading the court reporter version of what happened. The judge, Judge Pratt, came into the courtroom, and he stepped on his robe or something and went down. And so the court reporter said, Pratt falls!
Okay. All right. That's a good one. That's a good one. The defense had a psychiatrist that testified that Jared's compulsive eating disorder morphed into a hypersexuality disorder after he lost all that weight. You see, so what he did was he exchanged one addiction for another. He exchanged.
Did he come up with that, or is that his noted attorney's ploy?
To try to get sympathy from the jury. I think they work together. They work together with the noted attorney has several BSs in BS.
Yeah.
And if you were going to come up with something, that seems like the type of BS you would want to throw out there to try to defend him.
BS or a JS?
I think you have to have a doctorate to be a psychiatrist. Yeah. BS is only a bachelor's, so
Okay. I
was just reaching at a pun. Sentencing was longer than the prosecution even asked
Pratt
for.
Fall was a better pun than...
Ba-dum-cha!
Yeah? Yeah.
The prosecution only asked for 12 and a half years. He got 15 and a half.
By the way, related to this vaguely, a porn star named Danica Dillon is suing Josh Duggar for roughing her up after he paid to have sex with her. She says Josh caused physical and emotional injuries, and she's being treated by a psychiatrist for severe anxiety. She's asking for $500,000.
Who's Josh Duggar?
He's one of the kids from what is it? 19 and counting? 20?
Oh, it's one of those reality shows?
He's the one that fondled his sisters when they were little.
Oh, wow.
Isn't he? I may have that wrong.
Crazy world we live in.
It is. Hey, big movie weekend coming up, and we're going to need some guidance, and that's why we have Manny the Movie Guy, and he joins us next, live, right here on Phil Hewlett and Friends. It is time to see what the movie companies have in store for you at your local Cineplex. Joining us live is a lover of hardwood floors, unless the carpet is the color red. KMIR-TV movie reviewer, Manny the Movie Guy.
I love hardwood floors, that's right.
Of course
I
you do.
Clean them, though.
Oh, well, you're in that rarefied air now where you could afford to hire somebody to come in and do that for you.
That's right. Yeah? I have them all in my whim.
Yes. Right. Come here. Clean that floor, you. What's the matter with you? All right, so a big weekend. Oh, my gosh. Never mind Star Wars. The Hunger Games thing is about as big as a movie gets, isn't it?
It will come a second this year, I bet you.
Oh, second to Star Wars.
It's the last one, and everyone wants to see how it all ends, even though you probably have read the book already.
Yeah, most of us have, and I know I'm not giving anything away, but Katniss, at the end of the thing, she moves away, and she becomes a crazy cat lady.
Right,
and she feeds her cats brownies spiked with catnip, and they say, "Oh, that's where it all comes from."
Yeah, but this one though, this final Hunger Games is dark and grim, but ultimately satisfying. Mockingjay Part 2 is a fitting ending to the Hunger Games franchise, and let me tell you, it's a franchise that is consistently smart in storytelling.
Yeah.
And of course, one of the best reasons to see the film is Jennifer Lawrence, the Oscar-winning actress, anchors the movie as Katniss Everdeen, the mythical Mockingjay, the symbol of freedom in this oppressed dystopian world.
Can I just run something past you, Manny?
Sure.
Related to Jennifer Lawrence, and you tell me if this sounds like BS to you. Jennifer Lawrence recently said she's lonely every Saturday night because guys don't ask her out. And well, somebody took the opportunity, stepped up to the plate. A Navy SEAL named Travis Fishburne from Boise, Idaho, made two videos asking Jennifer out, and one of them, he even displays his bow and arrow weightlifting and driving skills. And, good for him. But do you buy that Jennifer Lawrence is sitting alone on Saturday nights?
Well, probably. You know what? She's a Southern gal.
Yeah.
No, she's probably very picky about her boyfriend.
Is she introverted? Is she, I don't know, are her social, her social she's skills very, have to be great.
Well,
I mean,
she's very jovial. But, you know, those happy people are really introverted at heart.
Yeah.
You know, and she probably just can't stop falling on the red carpet. Who wants to date that? Right?
No, exactly.
Or getting drunk on it. I saw her taking shooters on the red carpet for this movie.
Yeah, but you know, I'm excited, though, because she and Amy Schumer are working on a script together, and I can't wait to see what their partnership will give us.
All right, so back to the movie. Sorry, I interrupted.
You know what? No. It's okay because I really enjoyed this last one. The ensemble is incredible. But my favorite this time is Donald Sutherland leading the way and having fun playing the tyrannical President Snow.
Yeah.
But there's also Julianne Moore and the late, great Philip Seymour Hoffman making his final performance, and they all add layers to the film. And by the way, this one, adapted from the final book of the young adult series by Suzanne Collins, is a mature and honest depiction of war. Everything, there's a fine line between good and evil, and it's blurred for the sake of war with one goal in mind, justice.
Yeah, but did you open up by saying you think this movie's going to come in number two, Manny?
After Star Wars is what I meant.
Oh, okay. For the year.
I got you.
Not for the week.
Right.
It's
going to
do...
Yeah, I was going to say, what's going to beat it this weekend?
It's going to do $400 million. Are you kidding?
Well, yeah, I hope so, because really this movie is... I mean, really, there's one of them. There's a kick-ass female action hero that can beat any of her male counterparts.
Yeah.
She's smart and witty, but she's also very, very human, and she doesn't need a trophy husband to prove it, or a trophy boyfriend or anything.
Yeah, she already has the archery trophy.
Yeah, that one. Yes, I enjoyed it. So this one, so go ahead and watch this. I gave this 3.5 out of 4
uh-huh.
kisses, so join the revolution and watch this film.
Okay, so the anti-Christmas movie is out.
Yes.
The night before. I mean, that's just, I mean, you're taking the birth of the baby Christ child and turning it into a raunchy comedy.
Right, exactly. And you know what? I am still laughing because this one is a feel-good, mushy holiday movie masquerading as a gross-out bromance. So very similar to Harold and Kumar 3D Christmas, although The Night Before is much, much better. Seth Rogen and his perennial partner in crime, writer-producer Evan Goldberg, create a hilarious joyride of a movie from director Jonathan Levine, who I admire. He gave us a tearjerker 50-50. Do you remember that one?
Oh, yeah, sure. You liked it.
I love it. And the zombie romance comedy Warm Bodies. And now this. The Night Before that will have you laughing all the way home. Joseph Gordon-Levitt reteams with Rogen. They both starred in 50-50, and this time they're best friends together with Anthony Mackie. For the past 10 years, the trio's yearly Christmas reunion has been a night of debauchery, but this night is different. As they enter adulthood, they want to make this the best Christmas reunion ever. By hook or by crook, they're going to find the Nutcracker Ball, holy grail of Christmas parties.
Yeah.
I love this. You know, like the best of Rogan's comedies. This one is dirty with penis jokes abound, lots of politically incorrect incorrect jokes. And you know what? Shoot me for laughing. I laughed my booty off indeed. And like the best of Rogan's comedies, though, the big jokes sometimes fall flat, and the funnier ones are the improvised material.
Better run fast, my friend, and shuck and jive and whatever you can. Avoid my chute.
Yeah, there's a lot of funny cameos in here, including James Franco in a sexual bit. Even Miley Cyrus shows up as herself. So The Night Before falls somewhere between Bad Santa and It's a Wonderful Life. It wants you to laugh while crying at the same time.
Okay. Now, I'm trying to decide, after watching the trailers, if I think this is a compelling-looking movie or if I can even believe that Julia Roberts can jump parkour from building to street to over the car and then beat the bejeebers out of somebody, out of some kind of revenge for the loss of
exactly
of her what? Well, her sister, her daughter.
The death of her teenage daughter. Now,
yes.
You know what? Here's my advice to you. Watch the original Oscar-winning best foreign language film instead. It's from Argentina. This one's a copycat, although it changed a lot of elements. Like, for one, they drop the in the title, like it really matters.
Yeah.
Second, gone are the visually compelling chase scenes, and what we have left is a predictable, but you know what? It's still worth seeing, though. Why? Because of Julia Roberts.
Yeah.
That's right. The pretty woman, all grown up, shows her age without vanity in this film. She's Jess, an investigator trying to piece a personal puzzle who brutally murdered her teenage daughter. Chiwetel Ejiofor as her fellow investigator named Dre, and Nicole Kidman as a DA, Claire, complete the cast.
Yeah.
You have to see the scene when she discovers her daughter's body. It's definitely, definitely heartbreaking. I'm recommending this to you maybe for a matinee and all just for Julia Roberts. It got 2.5 out of 4 for me.
Okay, fine. And one final movie that I didn't see on the list, but we should talk about it because it's out there, and it's called Legend.
Yeah, you know what? Universal started actually releasing this a while back, but now it's on full release, wide release. You may have seen this film before, though. There was a 1990 British drama called The Craze, starring, are you ready for this, 80s children? Gary Kemp and Martin Kemp of the new wave group Spandau Ballet.
Wow.
Both films, The Craze and Legend, focus on the life and times of London's most notorious gangsters, Reggie and Ron Cray. This time, though, Tom Hardy and Tom Hardy alone star as both Reggie and Ron Cray. Ronald is the dominant one. Reggie is the follower who, incidentally, is gay, according to the movie. But gay or not, there's nothing gay and happy about this film. It's full of violence and tension. But Hardy, boy oh boy, creates a compelling dual role that is short of legendary. As for the movie, well, Brian Helgeland, who wrote the Oscar-winning L.A. Confidential, did not succeed in fleshing out his infamous characters. But have no fear, Hardy will keep you entertained from start to finish.
All right.
Gets 3 out of 4 for me.
3 out of 4. MannyTheMovieGuy.com. Visit and look at his video interviews. They're spectacular. And we will talk to you in 2 weeks because next week is Thanksgiving and we will not do a show.
That's right. Have a great Thanksgiving, you guys.
Thank you. You too.
Thank you.
There goes Manny the Movie Guy. Always great to talk to him. Now, there's research for everything, isn't there, Chris?
Absolutely.
Yeah. But this is important stuff. Brain researchers have apparently figured out how you can keep the pounds off during the holidays. And we will speak to one of those researchers next, right here on Phil Hewlett and Friends.
In sports, speed is everything. When it comes to headache relief, speed is the only thing. Introducing Goody's Headache Relief Shot, the all-new liquid fast formula. Just screw off the top, down the shot, and knock back pain for fast, long-lasting relief. Leave headache pain behind with Goody's Headache Relief Shot, available now at Walgreens.
Here's a great idea for your next outing, a cruise of the L.A. Harbor on a Spirit Cruises yacht. Whether you have a large party, a company outing, wedding reception, a reunion, or you need the perfect setting for a romantic evening, Spirit Cruises offers everything you need to relax and enjoy your time on the water. For a limited time, enjoy Sunday brunch at Portsacall Waterfront Dining right next door, and the first Spirit Cruises Harbor Cruise of the day is free. For more information, call 310-548-8080 or visit spiritmarine.com. All right, welcome back. It's Phil Hewlett and Friends. Thanksgiving is a week from today, and for many people, perhaps you, that means eating so much food you feel bloated, uncomfortable, and guilty. You know, the guilt never really kicks in for me. I don't know about you. But there's help in research, not your typical research either. Joining us now is national speaker, author, and CEO, founder of Engaged In, that's a neuroscience behavior design firm. We'll find out what that is in a moment. Her book is called Well-Designed Life, 10 Lessons in Brain Science and Design Thinking for a Mindful, Healthy, Purposeful Life. Book's in the store at philhewlettandfriends.com, by the way. Go get it. Dr. Kira Bobinet, welcome to the program.
Thank you, Phil. It's great to be here.
Yes, thank you. Now, what kind of research are we talking about here?
Well, it's basically all of the research that's come up in the last 10 years or so that is neuroscience and behavior science coming together to show us that there's a difference between the fast brain that we use to make most of our behaviors go every day, all of our habits, and the slow brain where we try to do something differently.
Now, what does that mean exactly? Do we need to hook up to cables and shock some sense into our brains in order to live a better life?
No, but it means that most people, when they have good intentions to cut back or control themselves on Thanksgiving, really won't have a success unless they know this about their brain.
Oh, okay. So you can say certain things to yourself and trick your brain to change your behavior.
Basically, yes. I mean, basically, you have to think of yourself as two people. My future self, which is going to uncontrollably engorge myself, and my present self, which has a little more control over the situation, needs to almost set booby traps for my future self to follow along.
Now, there's some of us, you know, who, like I point out, that I don't feel the guilt. I mean, it Thanksgiving is one of those opportunities where we gorge ourselves or engorge ourselves with purpose.
Well, no offense,
yes,
Phil,
absolutely.
But you seem to be one of those guys that also has a pretty quick metabolism and you're able to process large amounts
of...
I was
just going to ask that.
He's 6 foot tall and he's probably a buck 90, so...
For goodness sakes, it's
right.
One day out of 364. I'm not going to go full obese off of one meal, am I?
Yeah,
you're not.
No, you're not.
But some people struggle a little bit more than you.
Okay, fine. Yeah.
Exactly. In fact, most of the nation is struggling, Phil. So you're in the minority, unfortunately, for everybody else.
Oh, that's too bad.
And men have it a little easier than women. You know, women, especially as they get to be, you know, kind of middle 30s on up, have trouble with this time of year because whatever comes on doesn't come off. And this is so much better to do now versus New Year's resolutions, which basically people are doing all those wrong too.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's really good to catch this and still have an engorging experience, but not have all of the consequences.
All right, Dr. Bobinette, let's learn a little more about this because according to you, we can make some tweaks.
That's right.
And these tweaks can help us avoid holiday weight gain and enjoy the holidays more without any regret or guilt. And so what are some of these tweaks?
Exactly. And I really don't want anybody to feel guilty or ashamed. We're done with that. It doesn't work. So it's really getting people to think like designers. You know, I want to design my future behavior. And so the tweaks are, you know, supplementing things that are really, really bad that you'll put a lot on your plate with things like, you know, you could cut your mashed potatoes with some pureed cauliflower without changing the taste hardly at all. You could substitute butter for things like Smart Balance or an olive oil kind of butter substitute, those kinds of things. So those are nutritional swaps. But there's another kind of interesting area, which is coming out of behavior research in food that.
Oh, darn. We were going to get
smaller plates.
Oh, she's back.
Putting
okay.
it up on the sideboard or whatever, you know. So there's just different ways to like put friction that we call in your way between, you know, your engorged self and your more logical self.
Yeah. All right. So now I hear the theory, but the practice, I mean, how exactly, now without substituting the broccoli or cutting the broccoli into the mashed potatoes, there's a definitely a mental game that you have to subscribe
yeah.
to. And so what exactly is that? Help me with that understanding what
yeah,
you mean there.
Yeah, exactly. So it's premeditated, much like you would have a shopping list for your Thanksgiving. You would have a design list. You know, I'm going to use these plates. I'm going to use this setup. I'm going to put the food not on the table, but on the side of the table so that people have to get up to get seconds. It just slows the whole process down. It makes it a little more thoughtful about what I want to put in my body. And also the stomach starts to catch up to the brain, and you start to have more synchrony with what I actually want to do instead of what I'll just automatically do.
Yeah. Okay. Now, when we talk about the research behind all of this,
yes.
And I started when I asked the question about hooking people up to cables, and I've seen documentaries on television about how people are actually changing their behaviors for the better, and they are indeed mm-hmm. hooking up to cables, in some cases, directly to their brains.
Mm-hmm.
And is this when you talk about behavior design, neuroscience behavior design, how much mm-hmm. of that is going on?
You know, I think that we're a long way off from, you know, sticking electrodes in our brain for anything short of, you know, full schizophrenia or something like that. But, you know, for daily behaviors like this, what we know now is that we can translate these kinds of defaults, these shortcuts that our brain makes of, if I have a full plate of food, I will eat the whole plate of food. If I have an endless bowl of mashed potatoes, I will eat as much as I want versus making it smaller. And this started to come out of some of the labs like Cornell that studied, you know, people who had cereal on their countertop were 20 pounds heavier than those that didn't. And there's just what we call trigger field. It's the things that sit in your environment that message to you, to your unconscious, of how to behave in response to them. And so there's a way that we can control that to get the behaviors that we want instead of what we regret.
Yeah, okay. So I can relate to that specifically because post-Halloween, there's
yeah.
a bag of uneaten candy in the fridge. And I went a whole 11 months without giving a thought to having a piece of candy. But now every time I walk into the kitchen, I know that bag's in there. And so there's this tugging at my inner self that leads me
yeah.
to the fridge. I open the door, grab one or two of those little bite-sized, you know, a Snickers or a Mars or something like that, a Three Musketeers, and down goes the candy. Where on any typical day, the rest of the year, no inkling at all that I want some candy.
Right, exactly. So that's a perfect example because now you know that you're in this trigger field, you know, this kind of broadcast happening time of year, all the stuff you go to, maybe the drugstore, you see all the candy on the shelves. That primes you. It's called priming of your brain to remember, oh, candy. And you may not act on it right then, but like you said, when you get home to your fridge, suddenly that's visible to you. And we've all noticed this when somebody says, hey, look at everything red, and we suddenly see red everywhere. It's a filter that our attention gets going, and candy is front and center at that point.
Yeah, fascinating stuff. When people read the book, what do you hope they take from it?
I really want to turn everybody into designers. I think it's a really awesome, cool, sexy way to change your behavior. And I'm so tired of, you know, medical shaming and people feeling bad about themselves and feeling like they can't control themselves, which, you know, I want them to know the science behind how they can.
Yeah. Okay. It's called Well-Designed Life. 10 lessons in brain science and design thinking for a mindful, healthy, purposeful life. And it's in the store at philhewlettandfriends.com. Go get it. Dr. Kira Bobinet. Can we learn more about Engaged In? Is there a website we should go to or follow anything?
Yes. You can go to www.engagedin.com.
Okay. That's perfect that you can get the name of your company with a .com after it these days. It's getting harder and harder to do that, isn't it?
So true, so true.
Yes. Well, a pleasure to speak with you, and you have happy holidays, and enjoy the mashed potatoes cut with broccoli.
You too. Have a well-designed Thanksgiving.
Thank you. All right.
All right.
She goes, so, all right, that all makes logical sense. I thought for sure that we were going to cut open our cranium and plug in the cables.
Nope. It's a new spin on an old concept, Phil, but I like it. Designing our own realities. I looked her up, by the way. She is really pretty.
Is she?
Yeah.
She's a designer scientist?
She's a designer scientist, and she looks like a designer. She wears some designer clothing in some of these pictures.
Are you at engagedin.com?
I'm not. I was. I'm at drkirabobinet.com.
Oh, all right.
Which she owns that one as well.
We should link to that as well. So we'll link to engagedin.com and Dr. Kira Bobinet, BOBINET.com. And again, the book's in the store. All right, so that was fun. We got a first hour in the books. In a hurry, Chris.
Yeah, we're good.
Yeah.
Real right. Good.
Good for what?
Good for a few good stories, a couple of chuckles.
Got a little time to kill. Did you know what the word bikini means or where it came from?
I'm pretty sure it means awesome.
It comes from the language spoken on the Marshall Islands called Marshallese. And literally translated, it means surface of coconuts.
Ah. Makes sense. That's a good translation, because isn't a bikini's job to cover the surface of coconuts?
Yeah, apparently it is.
Partly,
yeah,
anyway.
Part of the time. Mm-hmm. There's a difference between a labyrinth and a maze. A labyrinth is just one long winding path. A maze has paths that branch off into dead ends.
Oh, did not know that. Yeah. I thought a labyrinth also had multiple paths.
See, this is the thing. When you listen to this program, you hear things that you didn't know.
Don't labyrinths also have, like, ogres and orcs and trolls and stuff?
No, silly. That's a movie.
Oh. All right.
Yeah.
And David Bowie? Isn't there a David Bowie in every labyrinth?
There should be if there isn't. Hey, that's it for the first hour of Phil Hewlett and Friends. Want you to stick around, because coming up in the second hour, oh, my gosh. What if we had a brand new way to vote in the presidential election cycle? Completely different. We have a guy who's got an idea that is very compelling, and you're going to hear about it, and a whole lot more in the second hour of Phil Hewlett and Friends. Next!
In sports, speed is everything. When it comes to headache relief, speed is the only thing. Introducing Goody's Headache Relief Shot, the all-new liquid fast formula. Just screw off the top, down the shot, and knock back pain for fast, long-lasting relief. Leave headache pain behind with Goody's Headache Relief Shot. Available now at Walgreens.
I want to tell you about a spectacular dining experience. It's Portsacall Waterfront Dining, award-winning service and cuisine with a view of the dynamic L.A. Harbor from every seat. Enjoy daily sunset specials, as well as the South Bay's best champagne brunch. The outdoor harborside patio is a perfect setting for happy hour every weekday from 3 to 8. Portsacall Waterfront Dining. For reservations and directions, visit portsacalldining.com or call 310-833-3553. You are listening to Phil Hewlett and Friends. This is hour two of the talk show, where you get nothing but fun, informative, sometimes unexpected conversation about the stories you care about. You'll hear from the experts, authors, and others. And we hope to put a little smile on your face along the way. Some of the stories we're working on for you this hour. Adele thumbs her nose at streaming music services. Altruistic, or is it a negotiating ploy? I have a list of the 10 terrible debut albums by great artists. The best things to eat before you go drinking. Should Black Friday be a national holiday? And what is approval voting, and why does the election expert we'll talk to this hour think it's something we should try just to shake things up a little? I'm Phil Hewlett. Thanks for listening. Chris Martin is here with me. And by the way, if you ever want to leave a message for us here on the show, a voicemail message, it's easy. If you have a smartphone with a browser, or you have a microphone hooked up to your computer. Most computers have those little microphones right there in the monitor. You don't even know it? You should check it out. I bet you have a microphone. Go to philhewlettandfriends.com. Look for the little blue tab along the side, on the right side. Click on it. Little thing comes up. Then say, yes, I want to start talking. Then start talking. Then you could either leave your email address or not. You could be completely anonymous and leave us a voicemail message, and we'll listen to it and probably play it on the show.
If you're going to be completely anonymous, though, that means you have to start launching cyber attacks against terrorists.
That's right.
That's what completely anonymous does.
That way, the world will love you, even if you are an evil hacker.
That's right.
All right, Chris, let's get things rolling for this second hour. Adele, man, she can take a five-year vacation, a sabbatical, push a puppy out, raise the kid to preschool or kindergarten, and come back and say, all right, I'm back. Here's what I've been working on. It's on my album, and it's better than anything that you've ever heard, and the proof is in the pudding. But she holds all the cards in the music business all of a sudden when we thought Taylor Swift did.
Taylor Swift. What's the other one we talk about? Katy Perry.
Yeah.
They seem to run the music industry. But everybody's going to have their cycles. It ebbs and flows. And right now, it's ebbing and flowing in Adele's direction because she's coming out with her what is expected to be a monster album. It's called 25, and it hits the market tomorrow.
Mm-hmm. Is that how old she is?
She's 25. I think her first album was called 19. Second album was called 21. This one's called 25. That's how old she was each time she launched
it.
Is
she going to do that from it forever?
Why not? Why not? Oh. Well, because at some point, you're right, huh? She's not going to want to tell how old she is.
Well, maybe she's over it, and this is therapy for her. But are you going to buy Adele
82.
Oh. I'm not. I'm probably not going to be around that long, but just the same. Man, is she going to do that? I wonder.
I don't know. We'll find out. I mean, I'm sure she'll do it for a while longer. Are you excited about this, the launch of this album, Phil?
No.
You're not?
No.
This is another one of those things I feel like Star Wars that's really got a lot of buzz around it. There's a ton of anticipation from fans all around the world, but the big question was whether or not she would release the music on streaming services like Spotify and Apple Music, and we now have the answer, Phil.
What is the answer?
No.
Well, you don't have to be pissy about it.
And we got the answer just 24 hours before the release. Adele is said to have personal involvement with the decision of not playing the music on streaming sites, and this comes just 1 year after old T-Swizzle pulled her music from Spotify.
T-Swizzle?
For royalty issues, yeah. T-Swizzle, that's what us that are close to Taylor Swift.
So her new song is called Water Under the Bridge?
There's one of those. That's one of her new songs.
And how about When We Were Young?
That's the other one.
Yeah.
And then there's Hello. Those are the three I think that we know about until the album is actually released.
Yeah, all right. So there's been some leakage.
But it's controlled leakage.
Is it?
It's not spastic leakage. It's not accidental leakage.
Oh.
For that, you'd see a urologist. This is controlled.
Yeah,
leaking into the into the internet.
Sure. Sometimes you know you laugh or you shift around in your seat a little bit, and oopsie,
mm-hmm. Accidental leakage.
Yep.
By the way, this is not something that many artists would engage in because of the fact that they need these streaming sites to help get their name out there and spread their music.
She doesn't need it.
She doesn't need it. The album is still expected to crush.
So the only way you're going to hear Adele is if somebody full-on leaks or you buy her music directly from her or her record label. So I do wonder if Spotify or some of these others, Apple Music or Google Play, if they go to her and say, all right, Adele, here's a $100 million check for your catalog, for the rights to play your catalog, plus additional royalties on top of that. What do you say?
I want to believe that her and Taylor Swift are making these decisions for altruistic reasons and would not take the giant payout from these conglomerates.
I don't think they walk away from $100 million.
It's hard to do that, and I can't justify anybody walking away from that kind of money, because you know what you say? You go, you know what kind of good I could do with this money? You know what kind of platform it gives me to do more good for other people?
She's got a little baby to think
about. Instantly justified. A baby? How much does it cost to raise a baby? Not no $100 million, Phil.
Oh, have you done the figures and the facts lately?
Yeah,
yeah, it's like something like $100 million.
It's like $75 a week or
something. It's $100 million for a girl. It's like $50,000 for a guy, for
okay.
a boy.
Yeah. Right.
Hey,
yes.
Hey, look, it's a baby guy.
Ah, oh, good. You just wipe your brow.
Right. Oh.
That saved me some money.
You know what's outside of burritos? Maybe tacos. What's the hierarchy of Mexican food in terms of what we really enjoy? We gringos when we have our Mexican food. It's in this order: burrito, taco, and then what would you say is next?
Probably nachos.
No.
What about tamales?
Oh, yeah.
That's got to make the list,
gotta
right?
Got to be tamale next.
Should be at the top of the list.
Right.
I love this
People
story.
Love tamales.
Mm-hmm. Who doesn't?
How far will you go to get a tamale?
Some people will go all the way to Mexico, which you would imagine is one of the better places to get a good tamale. A guy was flying to Los Angeles from Mexico and was busted for smuggling contraband in his luggage, but it was not guns or illegal fireworks, Phil. He was busted for smuggling pork tamales.
How many did he smuggle?
450 tamales he had smuggled into his luggage that he was bringing along with him.
How many bags of luggage was that?
I think it was two. You know, you're allowed an endless number, I guess, if you're willing to pay for them. It was like two or three bags. All I saw in the news was the picture of these bags ripped open and tamales thrown everywhere, you know, because now they have to investigate fully.
Did the authorities disclose the street value?
They said that, well, he was fined $1,000. His fine for smuggling these illegal tamales. Maybe that's the street value. 450 tamales, I'd say you're going to pay $2 a tamale, right? So what's that, $900?
Yeah.
Unfortunately, nobody's going to see any money from that. You know why?
Why?
All of the tamales were destroyed.
Oh.
They were all destroyed. They were all thrown away. Illegal contraband. It's jacked up, huh?
Yeah, it is.
You'd think you'd at least give it to a homeless shelter or something.
Yes.
I mean, what the heck?
Why not? There are a lot of people that need to eat. And what's that stuff they rolled the tamale up in? Is it
masa? Like a
masa,
yeah,
right?
It's a corn product, right?
Yeah, it's like a cornmeal, but there's a name for it, and I think masa is the name. You look it up. You double-check my marginal knowledge.
Well, real
this.
Quick, Phil, the reason it was destroyed is because foreign meat products can carry serious animal diseases, and they weren't going to take any chances.
Oh, you could eat a pork tamale and get the trichinosis or something like that. Here I have in my hand a list from Rolling Stone. They listed 20 terrible debut albums by great artists, and the highlights are... in no particular order, we have 10 of them here. And these are great artists who went on to just sell millions of records and just sell out stadiums and arenas all over the world.
These are debut albums, you say?
Yeah, the debut album. Okay. And the debut album just absolutely tanked and sucked and is not even worth listening to. All right? David Bowie, by David Bowie, 1967.
Huh.
Okay.
Self-named.
What's the next record? Spiders from Mars? Probably, huh? All right. Empty Sky, Elton John, 1969.
Wow. Wouldn't have expected that.
Cold Spring Harbor, 1971, Billy Joel. Only saving grace was the track She's Got Away, which didn't become a hit until years later in 1982.
Hmm.
Journey by Journey, 1975. First Journey record. Chestnut Street Incident by Johnny Cougar, 1976, before he went, it was forced to add...
Mellencamp.
All kinds of things to his name. Well, no, Cougar was forced upon him. His name was Mellencamp, but the record label told him to call himself Johnny Cougar. Did I get that story right? Okay.
I think so.
For You by Prince, 1978.
This is a list of like the greatest artists that have ever lived.
Yeah. Sonic Youth EP by Sonic Youth, 1982.
All right, and then we take a dip.
Janet Jackson by Janet Jackson, 1982.
A lot of self-titled albums.
Metal Magic by Pantera, 1983. And for those of you who don't follow the metal, Pantera, huge thrash metal band, and their first record was a big hair glam metal album. Didn't do very well. And then finally, on this 10 highlights, Leisure by Blur, 1991.
You know what this goes to show, Phil?
What's that?
That nothing in life comes easy, and nobody's great at anything right out of the gate. You have to continue to persevere if you want to succeed.
Yeah.
There you go. Exactly. Motivational moment for everybody.
The other terrible debuts include ones by George Harrison, Genesis, Yes, Warren Zevon, Thin Lizzy, Tori Amos, and Kid Rock. And I think I have all of those records. Because they're worth something. They may be stinkers, but they're worth a lot of money.
That's right.
Believe it or not. Mm-hmm. All right, up next, I can't even tease this. I can't even promote it. I don't even know what to say about it, other than you have to hear it next here on Phil Hewlett and Friends.
In sports, speed is everything. When it comes to headache relief, speed is the only thing. Introducing Goody's Headache Relief Shot, the all-new liquid fast formula. Just screw off the top, down the shot, and knock back pain for fast, long-lasting relief. Leave headache pain behind with Goody's Headache Relief Shot. Available now at Walgreens.
I want to tell you about a spectacular dining experience. It's Ports of Call Waterfront Dining, award-winning service and cuisine with a view of the dynamic L.A. Harbor from every seat. Enjoy daily sunset specials as well as the South Bay's best champagne brunch. The outdoor harborside patio is a perfect setting for happy hour every weekday from 3 to 8. Ports of Call Waterfront Dining. For reservations and directions, visit portsofcalldining.com or call 310-833-3553. Hey, it's Phil Hewlett and friends. The highest scoring game ever in college basketball was a game between Troy State and DeVry University of Atlanta.
Sounds
in 1992.
Like a, is it a lopsided victory?
Troy won. It was lopsided. DeVry scored 141 points in the loss.
Yeesh.
Troy State, 258.
Wow. That has to be the most points ever scored in an official basketball game.
How do you do that? Is there enough time for that?
No. Even in these all-star games that the NBA players have every year, they score somewhere in like the 160s, 160s, 170s maybe. 250 points, that's ridiculous.
258, yeah. So that's like you intercept every inbounds pass and dunk it.
And you can't have done that because the other team scored 140 points.
Yeah.
So you couldn't have intercepted everything. You couldn't have even stopped everything. There's got to be some sort of there's silly quirk.
Clearly no defensive skills in that game.
There's not enough time in a game to score that many points.
Because you have to run back and forth. So in other words, you have to get about 90 points by stealing the inbounds pass at the baseline.
It sounds like they were playing that game at Dave and Buster's where they just throw the ball into the net from one end to the other back and forth.
Yeah, maybe the referee took a nap for a while, and then the guy on the clock. Oh, you know, it could be. The clock was malfunctioning.
It's possible. See what's going on in the NFL?
Half-court games? Is that what it was?
Up left and right.
They were playing horse. All right, now, that wasn't what I wanted you to wait around for, this next story. It's heartbreaking, but so often in life, this is what happens with couples who've been married a long, long time.
Yeah, and it is heartbreaking, and that's the way a lot of the outlets are spinning this story, but I want to spin it here on this program another direction and say that it's beautiful.
Oh, I thought you were going to go the heartless direction.
No, I'm not going to be heartless. I'm going to say that this is a beautiful occasion.
Okay.
Rather than say that it's something that's terrible.
Good.
Do you know who Doug Flutie is, Phil?
Football guy.
He's a football player, former New England Patriots quarterback, Buffalo Bills quarterback, Heisman Trophy winner in college. Dude's the man.
Yeah.
Both of his parents died yesterday within an hour of each other.
Oh, were they in a car crash or something?
Nope, that's not how it happened. He, Doug Flutie, that being the he I'm referring to, announced via Facebook yesterday that his father Dick and mother Joan both suffered fatal heart attacks and died less than an hour apart.
Both had heart attacks.
Mm-hmm.
So the stress of losing her life mate probably brought on the heart attack.
Yeah, and that's exactly how the chronology of the situation went, because the dad had been ill for a while. He was actually in the hospital because of heart issues.
Yeah.
And when he passed away, the mother had a sudden heart attack shortly thereafter, probably from...
Man.
Maybe it was even self-induced. I don't know. You know, it's hard to imagine how those things happen. But when two people are together for that period of time, they want to be together for all parts of life, even their transition, I suppose.
Sure. Yeah.
You know?
You hear about this happening a lot.
Yeah.
And you hear about it happening with guys that work their entire life, and then the day they retire, they die.
Yeah, because they can't figure out what to do. Doug Flutie said they say you can die of a broken heart, and now I believe it.
Oh, he's doing okay? He's doing all right?
He's doing all right, yeah. His parents lived a long, fulfilling life.
Yeah. Well, okay, fine. So let's change gears. And nutrition experts came up with this list. This is a list of the best foods to eat before you go out drinking.
Okay. I'm going to say this is probably something starchy and greasy.
Well, greasy.
Carby.
Greasy?
Yeah.
Why would you?
Greasy.
Why would you eat something greasy?
Because it coats. It coats the stomach and it prevents the alcohol from absorbing into the lining.
But then if you load up on the beer, okay, let's say you just you get hammered.
Mm-hmm.
And then some nice lady, is interested in you, but you can't even walk. So she collects you, throws you in her car and drives over to her place. And along the way, three or four times, you, what do the kids call it? You shart.
Oh, no.
In the seat.
You're saying because you ate greasy, carby, starchy food.
You're blowing liquid sparks because of the greasy food and the beer combination.
Well, you have to regulate yourself a little bit. If you're going to go out and get bombed like that after eating greasy food.
Then don't eat the greasy food if you're going
to. Yeah. No, you eat the greasy food to help pad the area and prepare you for a long evening. Not to go out and start chugging Jägermeister until you can barely hold your cheeks together.
Well, fine.
You know? That's terrible behavior. You're a degenerate. You're a vagrant if you behave.
So now
like that.
When I go to a party, a cocktail party, I should imagine everybody's struggling to hold their cheeks together? Is that the image we're trying to project?
Not if it's a high-class cocktail party. If it's one of the cocktail parties I occasionally attend.
Then that you relax the cheeks then at a high class?
Yeah, because everybody's being responsible. And they're probably eating what you tell us to eat. What's on the list, Phil? Croutons?
Well, I mean, it hardly probably. Matters anymore, does it?
Handful of croutons and some sunflower
According
seeds.
According to the experts, you should drink milk, yogurt with granola.
Get out of here, really?
Hummus, salmon, spaghetti.
You'd think dairy would be the worst idea.
Chicken, cereal, and eggs.
Doesn't dairy curdle when it's mixed
It's high
with
in
alcohol?
Potassium. Which you start running low on if you pee a lot. And when you drink a lot of beer, you pee a lot. Plus, milk is 90% water, so it helps you stay hydrated.
Well, that's why I follow the path of the dude, and I just drink White Russians. Get milk in your drink.
And the spaghetti absorbs some of the alcohol, and the carbs will give you more energy.
That's the path I follow, spaghetti, yeah.
But but you would go for the greasy meat sauce spaghetti.
Because the grease coats your stomach.
Do you notice there's no grease on this list?
None. Yeah, I'm very surprised. Very surprised.
Unless you want to consider hummus grease.
No, I consider that sort of like a dairy product.
No, hummus is chickpeas. It's garbanzo beans.
Oh, is it?
Isn't it?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, but don't you mix like mayonnaise or sour cream or something with it to get it to hummus up?
No. You just add a little lemon, some water, some garlic salt.
It is good.
Yeah.
I'm a fan of it. Some wheat thins.
Salmon's high in B12. Alcohol can cause a B12 deficiency. And B12 helps you hold your cheeks together, from what I understand.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, added bonus.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Science.
It's
How about
amazing.
That, huh? Isn't it? It is absolutely amazing. I've got something else here for you, too, just to think about. Should Black Friday be a holiday? A national holiday. What do you think?
Sure. I'm all about more holidays. Give people more time off. Give people more time off. We'll be more productive as a society. We'll be happier.
A lot of people already get the Friday after Thanksgiving off as a paid day off, but should we all get it off? According to a survey, 39% people say yes, Black Friday should become a national holiday. The survey also found that one out of three Americans go shopping on Black Friday. 57% say it's because they really like the craziness and the energy of the day and secretly want to be trampled.
Yeah.
I added that part.
Well, but it's very true. They must like the exhilaration of the possibility of death when they go shopping.
Yes. Wow. Faces of death. Sale.
this Friday.
That's good.
Have you seen some of those images of some of those Black Friday sales? I feel like we've calmed down since then, but a few years ago it was madness.
Yeah. What else? All right. A guy attacked his neighbor with a Klingon sword during a fight about trash.
That is intense.
Isn't it? Yeah. A new study found that a good sign a guy is into you, ladies, is how much he eats on the date. The theory is that men overeat to show off how healthy and fit they are, which women are biologically attracted to.
That's what I do. I overeat, and then I actually just start eating off of their plate before even asking.
Yeah.
I'll just start taking their stuff off their plate.
So don't...
You don't look like you need any more of that anyway, honey.
So
let me clean that up for you.
Don't scoff at him if he takes you out on a date to the buffet.
Mm-hmm.
That's quite a compliment.
Right.
Isn't it? All right. Good.
Makes sense, though. Eat a lot, show off, show your
the
man.
The scientists that do these studies, they're all guys. Hey, every time there's a presidential election cycle, there's a bunch of candidates to choose from in the early going. It is very possible you like more than one of them, right? You can't zero in on one. So is there a better way to weed out the best of the bunch than the way we do it now? Our next guest will explain one idea. It's called approval voting. Curious? Me too. That's next, right here on Phil Hewlett and Friends. We've been voting for our presidential candidates in the same manner for a long, long, long time. And especially during the primary season, how do you know the best of the bigger group is rising to the top? You don't know, really.
No.
So is there a better process? At least, is there one worth considering? Joining us live is the executive director, co-founder of the Center for Election Science, Aaron Hamlin. Welcome to the show.
Hi, Phil.
Hello. Okay, election science. So you study all of these things, and you probably look at the trends and the polls, and you can see who's leading. And on the Republican side, Trump just got a bump once again, and so he's out there. But the rest of the field, who knows? Well, if to get an idea in the moment, explain the challenge and why you think something should change.
Sure. So the current voting method that we have is, there's this academic consensus that is pretty awful. And when I'm talking about our current voting method, I mean, when you get a ballot, you have a list of candidates and you're told to choose just one candidate.
Yeah.
And if you think about it, you can't really offer any less information than that. And so given that we're offering so little information in the first place, it's little surprise that we come up with bad results in the end.
Yeah, right. Because at this stage of the game, I mean, how many on the Democratic side, there are three or four or five candidates, so we only know for sure about two, and the rest of them, we think there are other guys running. Then the higher profile attention has been played on the Republican side, and there's like 50 guys. And so how do you know who you really like? Unless you really dig into it, and then very often you like five or six of the guys, and you'd kind of like to see or at least get your voice known that, okay, these are the guys I'd like to rise to the cream and duke it out at the final months of the primary season. But it doesn't work that way.
No, not at all. When our current voting method, our choose one voting method, which is called plurality voting, really performs terribly when you have more than two candidates.
And
you have two baseball teams worth of candidates, it's actually even worse.
Right. Now you talk about something called approval voting. What exactly is that? How would that work?
Sure. So the thing we went up against with priority voting is you can only choose one. With approval voting, you're not restricted anymore. You can choose as many candidates as you want. And when I say you can choose as many candidates as you want, like, you're not ranking, and every candidate that you vote for counts as a full vote. So it's very simple.
All right, it's fine. So let's say there are 12 names on the ballot and you vote for 10.
Mm-hmm.
That's okay.
Totally fine.
And what does that achieve exactly?
Well, if, for instance, there are 12 names on the ballot and you vote for 10, that would mean that those 10, that you approve of all of those 10 candidates. In that particular circumstance, you may you like 10 candidates the same, or you may really hate two candidates on those ballots.
Now, would you have to increase double or triple the length of time the primary season takes? Because it sounds to me like it would take longer to whittle the field down to three, two, or one candidate.
Well, you could run the primaries the same way. I mean, if the parties or if the state says that the that they can use approval voting, then that it doesn't take any kind of longer time or anything.
Has this been tried?
We've used third parties in the U.S. use it. We also just conducted a straw poll for in New Hampshire.
In New Hampshire? I'm sorry, I missed the, who was that for? Was it a particular party?
It's the Republican Liberty Caucus. So we did their straw poll, and they published the results using approval voting.
And what was the review? Were they happy with it?
Yeah, they were excited with it. With that particular one, Rand Paul happened to take the lead over Ted Cruz. But what's interesting about this, and you see this in a lot of studies on approval voting, under priority voting, all those other candidates beyond Paul and Cruz, you couldn't really tell any kind of differences between them. They all kind of blurred together. Mm-hmm. But when you used approval voting, you had candidates that stood out. So Ben Carson stood out, Fiorna stood out, Rubio stood out. But you just didn't, you weren't able to see that under our current voting method.
So because, what, I'm sorry, go ahead.
Because you're limited to just that one vote. So if you, Rand Paul, and you really liked Rand Paul, but also you liked someone else like Carson, with our current voting method, you wouldn't be able to express that. But with approval voting, you don't have to stop at just one choice.
Yeah, so I wonder how the candidates would alter their campaign practices if this were the way that we did it, because it sounds to me like perhaps when you get near the end of the game, when the Republican or the Democratic National Committee has to select somebody at their convention, it sounds to me like there might be one or two people who are really close because of this approval voting process, and they might want to split off and do a third party run.
Well, I mean, they could. I mean, I know that Trump had threatened to do that. But something interesting about approval voting that doesn't seem to occur within our current voting method is that it really helps third parties and independents, which is a huge contrast to the position we're in now. So right now, if you look at an independent or a third party on the ballot, you just kind of dismiss them because who wants to waste their vote?
Well, the Electoral College is a problem for third parties too, is it not?
Well, I mean, the Electoral College is its own kind of craziness that doesn't seem to fulfill what it's supposed to. But if you look at a number of other offices, whether it be governor or mayor, third parties and independents struggle in all of these because of that fear of wasting one's vote.
Right.
But under approval voting, you don't have to worry about that. It turns out that it's really difficult for a voting method to allow you to choose your honest favorite every time.
Yeah.
But approval voting lets you do that. So you can support the third party or independent that you really like. But in addition to that, if you don't think that's going to give them support, well, you can hedge your bets against that major party candidate you don't like, and you can support one of the other front runners.
Yeah, yeah. People wonder how third party candidates can do it very often. And it seems to me, and I don't mean to be too much of a cynic, but if, let's say, you split off of the Republican Party and you run as a third, then you'll get all kinds of money from the Democratic Party to run as a to ensure that you split the vote on the Republican side and ensure the victory for the Democratic candidate, and vice versa. I think that's probably what happens behind the scenes. Doesn't that make sense?
It does.
Everything's fair in politics. Now, is there another straw poll or small election somewhere that they've either tried this style of approval voting or they're considering it, and it's something we can keep our eye on?
Not upcoming at the moment. We have worked with the Green Party in Texas and the Libertarian Party in Texas. Both of them use approval voting for internal elections. Something else interesting is that we work with private organizations as well. So, for instance, this year we were the consultant for the Webby Awards. So we designed their electoral system.
Oh, and so people did approval voting. Now, is approval voting a little like what happens on American Idol or The Voice or something like that?
Well, those are kind of weird because you can just stuff the ballot as much as you want. So that's a little different.
So you only get to vote once, but you could vote once for several people.
Correct.
All right. Good, good. And so now, if people want to stay on top of this and perhaps help move it along and get it out there into the world of thought, election thought, is there a website or a hashtag or something like that that they should follow, a Twitter account that we need to direct people to?
Absolutely. If your listeners go to electology.org, there's a newsletter sign up right on our homepage, and you can learn all the latest in election science and approval voting.
Electology.org, and we will add that to our links page. And thank you so much for being on the program, sir. It's a pleasure.
Awesome. Thanks, Phil.
All right. There he is, Aaron Hamlin. He's the executive director and co-founder of the Center for Election Science.
Hey, can I ask you a quick question while we're on politics?
Yeah, sure.
When do the major parties, the Democrats and Republicans, have their convention that they choose one candidate that they're going to stand behind going into the presidential election? When does that happen? Do you know, approximately?
Well, that's the election isn't until next year, November. Isn't that correct?
That's correct. That's when the presidential election is. So they wait. They don't wait that long, though, before they back one party, though, do
no,
they?
No, I think the primary happens next year.
Okay.
I mean, not the primary. The conventions happen next year.
Okay.
Well, let's just check real quick. All right.
Well, see, now I got us into having to research the... I was just curious, because you wonder how much time we have for there to be flip-flopping. I mean, especially on the Republican side, where that seems to be...
July.
In July.
The Republicans' National Convention is in July.
Okay.
And
a lot can happen between now and July, right?
Sure.
Yeah.
And then
that's the only one that matters, really, because the seems like the Democratic side is pretty well sewed up, unless old Bernie comes up from behind with a late surge.
Yeah, it's more than likely, or if something insurmountable in the news comes up about Hillary Clinton's
there
past.
You go. Yeah.
Democratic convention looks to me to be the immediate week after the Republican event, so it's also in July.
You'd think they'd be close to each other. That makes sense.
Yeah. So there you go.
Wasn't interesting.
Last time, I think the Democrats went first and then the Republicans.
So we have about 8 months before the field is basically going to narrow to two candidates.
More or less, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Let's see what happens.
Unless there is a third party.
Strap in.
All right. That's about as much politics as I can handle for one day.
Yep.
So up next on the program... I guess it's all we could handle for one television program that's been on for 22 years, and I cannot believe it's been that long. The star of the show has gone on to bigger, better things while still doing this show, and we'll tell you what that is and who it is. I bet you've seen it before. Coming up next here on Phil Hewlett and Friends.
In sports, speed is everything. When it comes to headache relief, speed is the only thing. Introducing Goody's Headache Relief Shot, the all-new liquid fast formula. Just screw off the top, down the shot, and knock back pain for fast, long-lasting relief. Leave headache pain behind with Goody's Headache Relief Shot, available now at Walgreens.
Here's a great idea for your next outing, a cruise of the L.A. Harbor on a Spirit Cruises yacht. Whether you have a large party, a company outing, wedding reception, a reunion, or you need the perfect setting for a romantic evening, Spirit Cruises offers everything you need to relax and enjoy your time on the water. For a limited time, enjoy Sunday brunch at Portsacall Waterfront Dining right next door, and the first Spirit Cruises Harbor Cruise of the day is free. For more information, call 310-548-8080 or visit spiritmarine.com. You know who Warren Buffett is, right?
That rich guy?
Oh, he's rich, all right. He's 85. He's worth almost $67 billion. Billion with a B. But there's hope for you, Chris.
Good.
He's made more than 99% of that wealth since his 50th birthday.
Since his 50th birthday, you say?
Yeah.
All right, I have a long ways to go then.
Just better start working on it.
No way, 19 more years of poverty, then I'll try. Then I'll put some effort in.
Now, another rich guy, Yosemite Sam.
Mm-hmm.
Know who that is?
He's filthy rich. I think he's an oil worker.
Yeah, he almost had a different name. The other options were Texas Tiny, Wyoming Willie, and Denver Dan.
Hmm. I think... Any of the last two, Wyoming Willie and Denver Dan, might have worked, but none of them like Yosemite Sam.
Yeah, no, Yosemite Sam was not just a cowboy. He was a rich guy because there was an episode or two of Bugs Bunny where Bugs went to Yosemite Sam's palatial estate and walked into the building, and Yosemite Sam was in there in in his rich attire, smoking a cigar and drinking a martini.
I remember Yosemite Sam being pretty rich also.
Yeah, he was a rich guy.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, a rich, like a Texas oil man from Yosemite.
Mm-hmm. With a couple of six shooters.
Yeah, exactly. Now, Kevin McHale, is that his name?
No, it's not. You want to keep trying?
He's a basketball player, Kevin McHale.
That might be true.
Right?
Sounds like it.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
Bob.
Starts with a J. Starts with a J.
Jack. John. Jerry.
Rhymes with Noel.
Joel McHale.
You nailed it.
Joel McHale.
Good job.
He's a funny guy.
Nice pull. He's all right. Yeah, he's a comedian.
He's on a couple of TV shows, and he's also got his own show on, I forget what channel it is, but I catch it all the time. It's called The Soup.
That's right. He used to have a show on the E channel.
The Soup is over?
It is. At the end of the year, there will no longer be a show called The Soup. It's ending after... Well, under Joel McHale's hands, it's ending after 12 years. But the original version launched in 1991 with Greg Kinnear. You know Greg Kinnear?
Oh, Greg Kinnear. I forgot about him. So so Joel McHale was not always the host.
No. Greg Kinnear was the host for a long time. And then Joel McHale came along intelligently and creatively.
And made it better.
And he revived it. Actually, Kinnear sort of retired the concept. And then Joel McHale came along and said, hey, I've got a pitch for you. Let's just bring this show back. And what they do is they just poke fun at ridiculous reality television moments.
Yeah, and the timing was perfect because there was so much more to make fun of when McHale came around versus when Kinnear was doing it.
Yeah, I mean, the show really was funny. They sent out a tweet saying, we've watched over 11 million hours of terrible reality television, but all good things must come to an end.
Can you imagine working there?
I could imagine it. Yeah, I could imagine that being a pretty fun job.
Yeah.
Right. Hanging around the writer's room, watching bad reality television, and then making jokes. McHale, who's 43, by the way, should be fine. He'll continue hosting White House galas, I'm sure.
Right. Well, he's also on, what's the show he's on? It's in syndication.
It was
about a school thing.
Come on. Mike, you got any help with this
school,
one?
A school thing, right?
I know what it is. Yes. Chevy Chase was on the show as well.
Yeah.
It started out with having Chevy Chase in it.
Oh, gosh. This is how much TV I watch. I don't watch a whole lot of it.
I noticed the first thing you do is check your phone to see if your wife's going to give you a hint, though.
Yeah. She might. Yeah. I don't know what it is. All right, here's something. According to a new report from the CDC, you know what that is? The Centers for
Disease Control.
Exactly. More Americans have STDs than ever before.
Well, that's comforting.
And it's all Charlie Sheen's fault. Last year, there were 1.4 million cases of chlamydia.
Mm.
So 1.4 million people can say they've got a case of the clams. That's up 2.8%, an all-time record. Gonorrhea is nothing to clap about. It was up 5.1% to about 350,000 cases.
Uh-huh.
These are the oldest jokes in the books, folks. And syphilis was up 15.1% to about 20,000 cases. So what are your odds? It looks like your odds are better to get chlamydia than they are to get gonorrhea, and better to get gonorrhea than to get syphilis. Better odds, that is. It's not good to get any of these things.
But pretty good that you're going to get something if you're sexually promiscuative.
Yes. What?
Isn't that a word? Promiscuous.
Promiscuative. Yeah. Wow. You know what we need in here is a bell.
I just changed the suffix on
it. We just need a bell, right?
You know what it is? It's these kids, these damned kids, Phil. Kids these days. They really are. It's because they know that the medication for these STDs is so easy to get.
Oh, I thought you were coming up with a theory as to why you come up with these wacky words.
No, that's just because I have an intelligent creativity about me that is different than most people understand.
All right. We try to tap into your level once in a while.
But it does seem that these kids are not afraid of getting these sexual diseases, these sexually transmitted diseases, because the medicine's so readily available and it works so effectively.
Yeah. And by the way, people under 24 are the most likely to have STDs. So if you're going to have promiscuitatious sexual relations,
mm-hmm.
Chris,
promiscuitive.
Yes, you should look for... You should look for partners who are in their 30s.
Okay. Yeah. I don't get it.
People under 24 accounted for almost 2 out of 3 cases of the clams and gonorrhea. And women are more likely to be diagnosed than men. But here's the thing. If you're a guy and you're screwing around and you have a wife or a significant other, girlfriend or boyfriend, whatever it is, and you get the chlamydia, you may not know it. And you may just be a carrier, and you could give it to your partner.
Right, so you're the one double dipping, so to speak.
Yes, and then your partner gets it and gets all the symptoms.
Yeah.
And say, how in the world, I've been absolutely faithful to you, did I get the chlamydia? What have you done? And then you're going to have to come clean, because chlamydia will do wreak some havoc on you.
Yeah.
It will.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, none of it's any fun.
So there's a good... community. Thank you. Thank you.
Yes, thank you.
Thank
community.
You to my lovely
bride. That's the show that Joe McHale was on with
my
Chevy
lovely,
Chase.
Faithful bride, Remy, just came through with the name of the show, the TV show. Thank
She's you. The best.
Yeah, she is. I wish she would be on the show once in a while.
Yeah, what's up? Get her on.
I don't know what's up. I asked her that question. I say, what's up?
Yeah,
She says, not gonna do it.
Says, all right. The clouds, the ceiling, sometimes that's the... Yeah. Remark you get what's for what's up.
Price of beef. How about the price of turkey? Turkey is the most popular Thanksgiving food. But we knew that. 91% of people will serve turkey at Thanksgiving dinner. 33% will have ham. We'll have both, by the way. Either instead of turkey or in addition to it, 33%, yes. And 10% will have some kind of vegetarian option like tofurkey.
Yeah. That's what we have for my Uncle John.
Uncle John
is a vegetarian. Vegetarian, yeah.
All right. Yeah, we have a vegetarian Thanksgiving at my sister's house, so it's always interesting to see what there's going to be.
Uh-huh.
Not a fan of the tofurkey. I think there could be some improvement made in that department.
You know what I'm picking up that I think comes in a real close second to the old butterball ham?
What's that?
Or butterball turkey. I blew it. A honey-baked ham.
Yes.
I'm going to be picking up one of those.
Right, okay, good. 76% of people will roast their bird, 12 will deep fry it, 8 will smoke it.
And 1 out of 8 that deep fry it will catch on fire.
That's probably true.
End up on YouTube.
Yeah, they just stick it on a little wooden stool with a gimpy leg. Is it that time already? Show is going along nicely. We didn't have a chance to have a heartwarming story at the end. Do you have a heartwarming story you could tell in 15 seconds?
I do.
How about the story about the car thieves?
Oh, yeah. There was a set of car thieves in Virginia. They jumped into a car to steal it, looked in the back, and saw an 8-year-old little boy. Started freaking out, didn't know what to do, so they asked him where he went to school. He told them, and they dropped him off at school. Mom found him in his classroom, smiling from ear to ear.
How wonderful of those car
Carless,
thieves.
Carless, of course.
Yeah. But, you know. The heart warmed now. Hey, click on contact at philhewlettandfriends.com. Leave us a note. Or on Twitter at Faf Show. We're on Facebook as well. Like us, love us, follow us. Thanks to our executive producer, Mike Stark, our producer, Brooke Peterson, our production assistant, Ryan Hayden. Ryan, are you here? No. For Chris and for all of the friends, I'm Phil Hewlett. Can't wait to talk with you next time right here on Phil Hewlett and Friends.
In sports, speed is everything. When it comes to headache relief, speed is the only thing. Introducing Goody's Headache Relief Shot, the all-new liquid fast formula. Just screw off the top, down the shot, and knock back pain for fast, long-lasting relief. Leave headache pain behind with Goody's Headache Relief Shot, available now at Walgreens.
Here's a great idea for your next outing, a cruise of the L.A. Harbor on a Spirit Cruises yacht. Whether you have a large party, a company outing, wedding reception, a reunion, or you need the perfect setting for a romantic evening, Spirit Cruises offers everything you need to relax and enjoy your time on the water. For a limited time, enjoy Sunday brunch at Portsacall Waterfront Dining right next door, and the first Spirit Cruises Harbor Cruise of the day is free. For more information, call 310-548-8080 or visit spiritmarine.com.